Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
All right, this morning we're going to take a break from our series. We've been in 1 John. And it's been a beautiful thing to go through 1 John, and we're taking a three-week break from 1 John, and we're going through a series on looking at the life of Jesus heading into Jerusalem. And it's going to be about spiritual growth, but what we're calling it is life, death, and resurrection. But really what this is a template for spiritual growth. We go through this several times, these expressions of life, death, and resurrection. So we're starting this morning with the understanding of life, or what some have called order, or what I'll call this morning the container that we build as we understand our faith and we try and enter into a relationship with the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I was kind of going through materials and sitting with this and asking the Lord for a verse that would kind of focus us on this passage, and this is what I felt like he wanted me to share. We've been in 1 John, and so if you know where 1 John is, then go to the left a little bit and you'll get to Peter. 2 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is what God's word has to say to us. He says this, Peter's saying this to the church, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Yeah, amen. He says, but grow. That's how he starts this verse, okay? After this, he's said several things to them, and this is kind of how he wraps it all up. And what's interesting about that word grow is first it appears in the imperative, which is a command form. So this is not an option. This is not like if you feel like it, go ahead and grow. If you think about it, go ahead and grow. If you have time in your schedule, then go ahead and fit that in and grow. He says grow. It's what you're supposed to be, it's what we're all supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be growing. And what's fascinating also about that word is almost every single time that word in the Greek is used, it's in regards to a plant that's growing up. So like a plant, if you can picture that in your mind, grow. And any healthy plant grows. And we're like, this is the time, right? Best illustration ever. We're heading into spring, and we're all feeling sorry for anything that's come out of the ground already because we're not quite sure what's going to happen next. And we all know it's going to snow again because this is the Midwest. But that's the image. Almost every single time that word is used, it's used in regard to plants that grow. And I'll keep coming back to that. But this is what he says. And so the question becomes, well, how do we grow? He says, grow in grace and knowledge. Those two words, grace and knowledge. And I think a lot of us know, or we think we know what grace means. And oftentimes the definition of grace is getting what you don't deserve. And that's kind of like the typical classical definition. But I want to introduce us to a new definition or to add on to that, not to take away from it. But as I was reading through this is what I found. That writers in the epistles craved that their readers would understand the favor of God, which all blessings, especially the spiritual ones, are due. So literally he's saying, understand the favor of, come into the favor of God. That's what he's saying. So there's something about growth and there's something about the favor of God that are linked together. And that's how growth is. And then he says that other word, he says knowledge. So both grace and both knowledge. But knowledge here means the knowing of the things which belong to God. So not just learn more stuff, but learn about the things of God. And if you begin to learn about the things of God, you can't help but grow. It's like the plant in the ground. It needs fertilized, it needs watered, it needs cultivated. If you just left it to itself, it wouldn't do anything. It would wither and die, or it would really struggle. And we all have plants so that we've seen that happen too. My daughter's, she's away at college, so I can talk about her while she's not here. She's not very good at tending to plants. She's a very busy body. She thinks about a lot of things, and she went to incredibly hard school. And she'd have this plant in her room, and she wanted more than anything for it to grow. And because you know how it is, at least this is for me. I'll just speak from my own personal experience. You're like, man, it seems like nothing in life's going well, but at least this plant. Come on, Lord. Can we grow a plant and have it go well? This is like how it's supposed to be. And at one point she came to Anne, because I wouldn't know how to answer this question, and she's like, Mom, what's a plant that just doesn't require anything that I can have in my room? You know, like water really rarely and it won't die. And Anne's like, they make those. It's great. And so she's had that. And that's been a source of encouragement. But I guess it depends on like what kind of faith do you want, you know? Do you want a faith that's like requires very minimal things to tend to, or do you want something that's vibrant and bearing fruit and life-giving? And that's a question you got to wrestle with between you and the Lord, right? I can't answer that for you. I can want something for you, but you got to want it for yourself as well. So he says that those two things, grace and knowledge, and then he says, and this is the key to everything. He says here, and that knowledge is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is where we're going to get into this pattern of growth in a minute. What I've noticed is a lot of believers, they are totally at home with Jesus as Savior. Yeah, save me, please, because I need it. Save me from my sin. Save me from where I would end up in eternity. Save me, save me, save me. Please, come into my life. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to be in heaven with you, Lord. But there's something different about when it comes down to Jesus as Lord. Because lordship is, I want more than anything what you want. More than what I can imagine, I want what you're thinking of. And I want to submit my life, and I am willing to do what it takes to embrace and to receive what you want. Remember going back to that knowledge, knowing the things of God. And so as we journey over these next 3 weeks, and if you can't come back, if you're here during the child dedication, you can listen to it online. Monday or Tuesday, Lauren does an amazing job of putting messages up after that and follow along on this journey that we're going to go on. But it's a journey of growth that is more than anything wanting what God wants. And I think a lot of people find themselves frustrated in their Christian walk because they're trying to fit Jesus into their life rather than allow their life to be totally torn down and rebuilt around who Christ is as Lord and Savior. Okay, with the kiddos in here, if you're a young kiddo, I need your help right now. Come on up here. I got a job for you. Come on up. I need all of you. Everybody in this room. Okay, I need you to hand these out to everybody. Okay, so if you're not up here, that means you're old and you had your chance to come up here. I need you to raise your hand until you get a box from one of these kiddos, and so they know who they've given boxes to and who they haven't. So go ahead and raise your hand. All right. So Jessa, help me hand these out to all these guys first, and then just take like a stack and give it to everybody. And they're going to go around and hand these out, okay? And then you can go help hand them out. Can you do that for me? Just go like this and give some to him. There you go. Just hand them out to all the kids. Okay, Alina, you want to do the same thing for me over here? Hand these out to everybody. There we go. We'll get it. There it is. So just hand a little stack out to everybody. There you go. There you go. Okay. So as soon as you get some, go ahead and walk around and hand them out to people. And then come back and get more. There you go. Here you go, Gene. I'll give you some. All right. Okay. Okay, keep going. Yep. All right, keep your hand up. Oh, you're going to help me? Lucas, here you go. Go hand those out. Need more? Okay, you need more? Here you go. All right, who else needs one? Some in the back. Anybody? No, we haven't gotten the balcony yet. Can you get up to the balcony? There you go, up in the balcony. In the back over here. All right, for those of you who've gotten your boxes, what I want you to do is start folding the creases. Okay, we're not going to put it together just yet, but start folding the creases. Okay, I think we passed them all out. Anybody else not get one right here? Back in the back row, back there in the balcony. Everybody else got one? All right, perfect. If you got extras, you can bring it back up here. Thank you. Yeah, did you get one yourself? Here. Hey, you need one? Okay, take it. Is that extras? Thank you. You need one? Yeah, don't forget about yourself. Perfect. Extras, thank you. Thank you. Did you get one for you? Yeah. Did you got one? You got one for you? I'll take the rest. I'll take the extras. Oh, Lucas. Perfect, man. I was waiting for you. You killed it. Thanks, buddy. Excellent job. All right, so don't put the box together just yet. Just kind of start to fold the things and get them all loose. You guys need boxes? No, bring it back. You need one? There you go. All right. Okay, so as I'm, you're going to multitask here. You're going to listen to me, and you're going to play with your box, all right? And we're going to put it together slowly. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe this box and what we're doing, the reason I gave you this box, all right? So here we go. This box, it symbolizes the first stage that we're going to talk about this morning, okay? What we call life, what we call order, what I'm going to call the container. This is coming into faith. This is coming into realization of who God is in your life. Okay, it's vitally important. But it has three stages to it. Life, death, resurrection. We all love the life part. We all love the resurrection part. We want to avoid the middle. We all do. I don't care how old you are. We all do. But it is the only way. You cannot get to resurrection without death, okay? It's not possible. Again, we all want it to be possible, but it's not possible. Okay? And there's lots of different ways of describing this, and I won't go into that, but that's okay. But what I want you to know is this process is absolutely necessary. It's knowing the full pattern of this that actually allows us, if you have an understanding of this bigger picture, and that's my hope to give you this morning, is a framework to help you understand the faith journey. Because if you have an understanding of that faith journey, when you enter into those places, you can say, I know what this is. Here we are. We're in this spot. It's really hard and it's really lame and I don't want to be here. But I know that this is not, the story doesn't end here, right? That's where hope comes from. So I want to show you an image of a staircase. This is what we all want it to look like, okay? Life. Okay, death, that's lame, but we get to resurrection, yay, we stand at the top and we say we've arrived. How many of you guys, you're like, yes, please. I wish the path of faith looked like that. Okay, I'm sorry to say it doesn't. It looks more like this in the next image, more like a spiral, where you're like life, death, resurrection, life, death, resurrection, life, death, and over and over, we pass through this cycle as many times as God wants us to and as many times as we're willing to. And really, it doesn't even look like this. It looks like this. We're literally, and every time, so here's the beauty of it, though, okay? Where you're like, oh, man, how many times we got to go through this? Here's the beauty. Each time you go through it, God takes you deeper into himself. That's the joy. That's where we can celebrate. That's where we can be encouraged. So what I want to do, so week one is kind of put words around what it looks like to build the container, okay? Kind of that first stage or that first step. But it's not just a first step that we only get to once. We do it many, many times, okay? Are you guys with me? We're on the same page? All right. As you're building your boxes, here we go. So this is life, or this is building the container. This stage of faith is primarily an understanding or a cerebral expression of God. It's mostly up here. Okay? We want to understand, and we think in the understanding we will find freedom. And this is true. until it's not true. Okay, what happens when the gospel is presented as an understanding instead of an experience? We get things like the four spiritual laws. We get things like Romans Road. Those are all expressions of helping people transition into an understanding where they can start to build a box or a container. Because what we do with that container when we build it is we start to put the things that are most important to us in it, and we put our understanding of God in it. And there's a reason I gave you a box that's this big. Two reasons, actually. One, cost. And two, this is probably somewhat accurate for many of us. But the good news is, this is where we start, not where we finish. However, that's up to you, actually. Some people can start here and end here their entire Christian life. I know, that's lame, isn't it? Let me give you some examples of what this looks like. This looks like Exodus chapter 20. When God started with his people, he gave them the Ten Commandments. We know these things. We understand these things. These are actually brilliant things to live by that are still applicable to today and actually universal for all humanity. It's the best way to live life, whether you know God or you don't know God. But these are building the container understandings of who God is. Profound, yet limited. That's why Jesus, and either next week or the week after that, we're going to look at how Jesus actually changes these and goes deeper into them and takes people farther into them. But we understand this, it makes sense, because God was dealing with a people who were enslaved in Egypt. And they were enslaved in there for a long time, and slavery became their identity. And when slavery became their identity, God came to them and he rescued or redeemed them out. He used Moses to do that. And he showed Egypt that he was the dominant god over the gods of Egypt. And then he brings them out and he brings them to the mountain where he encounters them and he gives them these ways of living life. Why? Because they weren't ready. Here's a question to ponder. If they were ready, then they would have come to Mount Sinai and Jesus would have walked up and would have said, "Here I am. Check me out." Why didn't God do it at that point in that place? Because they weren't ready for that. Because they had been so entrenched in the slavery mentality and the slavery living that God knew he had to take that out of them first before they could receive the deeper truths of what God wanted to show them. Okay? But God also wanted them to draw near to him. And we see this in Exodus. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a profound verse, actually. It says, "When the people saw the thunder and the lightning," that's the presence of God, "and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" So in that moment, God actually invited them to go beyond this container or to expand that container, and they actually said, "No, we're too afraid to do it. Moses, you go in our place." But it was always God's intention from the beginning to say, "I want everybody to come close. I want everybody to come up the mountain and everybody to experience me, not just certain few." But they said, no, that's too intimidating. We don't know how to handle that. And I can tell you, there are going to be times where God is going to invite you to come close, but he will not defy your own will. And so you can say no as many times as you want, and you can stay in this box for as long as you like. But the only way to not is to begin to say yes to some pretty stretching things. But God's gracious. He knows us. He knows what to ask us. He knows what we need. I was reading this week, and I came across, I always love it how I'm reading books that have nothing to do with my sermon, and all of a sudden they have everything to do with what I'm going to preach on. It's almost like God knows what he's doing. But in another book that I was reading, not related to this preparation, it had this beautiful illustration, and it was talking about this very concept, and it said, you know, this idea of thinking that this, because this is what happens. A lot of believers actually don't realize that they have a container that they've created, so they live their entire life with that container, not knowing that there's more of God to be had. And the author said, that's like reading the label on the wine and thinking you drank the wine. Let me say that again. It's like reading the label on the wine and mistakenly assuming you're actually tasting it as you're going. And if we have any people who appreciate wine in there, here in this room, you'd know that that's a travesty. That's just not right. Okay? But Hebrews 10:16, we see this, and the author of Hebrews is quoting Jeremiah, says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." So we see that God's plan wasn't just to have words written on stone. That wasn't the end game. Eventually, he wanted to shift so that his law was written on people's hearts. So he knew, I have to take people through a process. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a process. We're talking about the process of spiritual growth. But this space does not deal, this space right here, the container, the first stage, it does not deal well with abstract. It longs for concrete understanding. It often avoids the heart space, and this is so, that heart space is so necessary for faith. The ego is built up and allowed to exist alongside our faith. Aspects like humility and surrender of self are great ideals that are entered into only as far as they don't require us to totally surrender or transform who we are. The first container doesn't always require a full dying to self. In fact, it hardly ever does. That first container stage. This is Jesus and the life that I want to live mentality. My mentor said this to me. Actually, it was after he transitioned out, and I took his place, and he started going to other churches and meeting with other pastors, which was a passion of his. But he came back to me once, and I said, "How's it been? What have you seen?" And almost with tears in his eyes, he said, "Jimmy, I've seen a lot of Jesus light." I was like, "Tell me more." And he said, You guys know how vaccines work, like flu vaccines and all that. They actually give you the problem. Right? They give you a small dose of it so your body can build up immunity against it, right? And that's how he described it. He's like, what I'm seeing happening in the world is that people are getting small doses of Jesus that's inoculating them against the real thing. Small doses of Jesus is what fits in here. And if you want the bigger image of that, you can't stay here forever. It just doesn't work. Also, things like principles like forgiveness are extremely challenging in this stage of the container because they are foreign and they're threatening to us. And we have not seen them work, so we agree with them in principle, but we're not all in with them. And that's probably most of God's word in the container stage, in that first stage. Paradoxes, which are all over the scriptures, are very hard because they don't fit in the container stage. Either one side of the paradox fits or the other side, but usually not both, because both will literally blow up the box. Let me give you some examples. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Really hard to contain in here. When you figure that out, come and tell me, because I still haven't figured it out. We are both sinner and saint at the same time. Really hard to put in here. Jesus is the lion and the lamb. The risen Christ, the resurrected Christ who has conquered death, still carries the wounds of the crucifixion in his hands and his side. What do you do with that? Okay. It is understanding of these things without the truth transforming our lives. That's the container stage. And as harsh as that sounds, really, at the end of the day, that's just rules-based form of Christianity. And Paul tells us that that doesn't work. It doesn't give life. The rule of the law doesn't give life. Okay, we've traded one set of laws for another set of laws. An image that came to me when we think that this is it is I was sitting there and I was pondering this and I was like, how do I explain this? And the image that came to me was like, it's like you go to climb Everest and you get to the base camp and you think you've summited. But you realize you have 22 more miles to go, and it's like this. And it'll be some of the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. But a lot of us stand there and we go, I'm good. Can we just stay here? And God is gracious. He's like, yeah, you can for a little while. And I'll come back around and I'll knock on the door of your heart and I'll say, are you ready to come out of the tent? Are you ready to start climbing with me? Because he's been up to the peak more times than anybody else is. And he knows that that's where he wants you to be. And he's inviting us all to go there. Okay, this is what I want you to do if you can around you. I want you to take out something you can write with and put your name on this box, on the top of the box, on the lid. Okay? There's pens in the back of the pews. And after you write it, hand the pen down to the person next to you until everybody's got an opportunity to write your name on the box. And as you do this, I'm gonna keep sharing some things with you. This first stage, or this container stage, absolutely loves theology and doctrine. And I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people. And there's nothing wrong with theology and doctrine. It's great. But if theology and doctrine doesn't absolutely transform your life, I'll let you finish that one on your own. It's necessary and needed. We need it. I've also met people that have never done this part of it, and they just enter into deeper aspects, loftier things of God, and they kind of try to jump into that without building the foundation. And those people actually scare me, because they're like kites without a string. And the only way the kite works is if it's tethered to something that's solid and can hold on to it. And so you need both the string and the anchor and for the kite to and the wind for the kite to work. So it's important that we start in this place. We all have to start here. This is not a bad thing. What I'm saying is we can't stay here forever. And yet we'll come back around to it again as we learn, as God shows us new things. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of having this experience, but you grow and you work at that foundation. You work really hard at it. You memorize it. You read the scriptures. You read some books. You grow. You begin to grow. And then God shows you something that makes you absolutely feel like you know nothing. Those moments are gifts. I had some of those last night, praying for some people. And I was in a position where I thought, I literally know what I'm supposed to do right now, and I've gone through all the steps that I've been taught, and still it's not working. And I was frustrated as I wanted to help see people be free of what they were wrestling with. And yet, I had to take that to prayer this morning as I woke up early this morning to pray, and the Lord was like, I'm teaching you something, Jimmy. Because last time, that wasn't my experience. I had a different experience. Went much smoother and easier, and it flowed better. But this time, it was harder. And God's like, yeah, I'm teaching you. I'm taking you deeper into this process. And that's a gift. Some other things I want to share with you, and then we're going to kind of close and go into communion. in the container stage, this mind seemingly has a preference for knowing things by comparison. One side is idealized, and the other is demonized. In this space, there is no room for great abstracts like love and grace. Holding on to these ideals allows us to avoid holding the tension that comes with knowing God. It is much easier to look at the sin in the other rather than the sin issues within ourselves. That's just for me, not for you guys. I'm reminding myself that I need to work at that, okay? As long as we can keep the focus on them, we can work on changing them, correcting them, expelling them, that we can sit in a comfortable position. But it's a place the saints called the false peace. It is the peace of avoidance, denial, and projection. Only true peace comes with the learning to hold and embrace the truth of the crucifixion and the tension that comes along with it. We need a clear enemy to shoot at, and this enables us to define ourselves. In this state, we expel our issues by projecting it onto somebody else. It's much easier to do that rather than to deal with them ourselves or allow God to take us through that process. In this space, there is no way to hold the tension of what Jesus says when Jesus says things like, die to self. Open your box and look in it and tell me that fits in there. No way. That's too hard, too complex. When he says, give everything away and come follow me. Are you kidding? When he says, forgive your brother, that's hard. It's incredibly hard. And then he goes and he says, you know, if you don't read the gospel and get annoyed by Jesus, you're not reading the gospels correctly. When he says to people, hey, you need to love your enemies, that should tick you off. How am I supposed to do that? And then he's like, yeah, exactly, you can't without me. And so every time he takes you another ring around the spiral, he's like, yeah, the only way this is going to happen is if there's more of me and less of you. 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 And I don't know about you, but like, I love myself, but not that much. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of agony and a lot of pain. But I've also seen what the other side looks like when I do say yes, and the transformation that happens in my heart and my life and how God uses me. And I can tell you, it is so worthwhile. It's so worthwhile. All of these are powerful statements: dying to self, giving everything away, forgiving your brother, loving your enemy, and on and on and on. Read the Sermon on the Mount for more illustrations. So all of these are powerful statements that we can stare at without allowing them to transform us in any way that they are intended to do. And I think a lot of us, including myself, can read the scriptures and we say, that's nice, what's for lunch? Because it's not affecting us enough, because we're holding on too tight to the container. And it's important for us to recognize that and realize that. But there's invitation here, and I want to end with this. Okay? What's the invitation to all this? Number one, realize that you have a container. Okay? That's awareness. If you don't realize you have a container, then that's a lot harder to grow. Because when God comes and begins to trample on it, and I'll tell some of my story of that happening in my life next week when we talk about the second stage of death and crucifixion, it is like incredibly life-altering, frustrating, and sometimes you don't know what to do with it. But if you have an understanding that there's a cycle, that there's a movement, that there's an ebb and a flow, there's a beginning and there's a middle and an end, that should give you life. That should give you something to hold on to. Number two, don't be overly attached to it, this container you have. Hold it with open hands. So this is what I want to invite you to do. If this is true for you, if it's not true for you yet, then don't do it. To take a pen and to your name, write apostrophe S, and then below it write box. Okay? For some of you, what we don't realize is the containers that we create in the early stages of our faith, we over-identify with and we think it's us. We don't realize, no, it's our container. Do you understand the difference between those two things? It's a huge difference. So I need you to focus with me real quick. The difference between when you overanalyze or when you think this is all you have, and then all of a sudden God comes around and he literally obliterates it. You think you've been obliterated, but you haven't. Your container has. There's a huge difference between the two. But if you realize it's your container and not you, then you can say, whoa, that's really hard. That's really frustrating. But I'm still in it. And I know that another container, God only destroys one container to give you a bigger one. Amen. This is really hard, but it's true. God only destroys your container if he has another one waiting for you, and he doesn't give you a smaller one. He always upgrades. It's always to a bigger container because there's always more of the Lord. Number four, God wants to give you a bigger box. I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to give you a bigger box, a bigger container. He wants to take you through that life, death, and resurrection process over and over again. It's a gift, okay? So this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to carry this box around you with you until Resurrection Sunday. So next Sunday, bring it back with you because we're going to use it again. Sunday after that, we're going to use it again, okay? Carry this around with you. Put it in a place where you're going to see it on a regular basis. And sometime this week, I want you to open up the box, totally unravel it, and I want you to start to write in there, what's in my box? How do I see God? How do I understand who God is? There's a brilliant, I can't remember the name of this person. Ask my wife at the end of the service, she'll know. Somebody from old who wrote absolutely stellar things from a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But they said this. They said, as you deepen in your understanding of God, you will begin to understand yourself. And as you understand yourself, you will begin to understand God. It's both and. It's a path. It's a journey. It's both and. And that's the invitation. What Peter says to us when he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.